Hey guys, it's Travis here from House of Mimosa. Thanks for subscribing to House of Mimosa, the podcast. In this episode, we chat about Caitlyn Jenner, RuPaul's Drag Race Season 7 finale, and winner Violet Tchotchke. And we've got special guest, psychic medium Alex the Medium, who's offering $25 off a session for all House of Mimosa fans. Just go to alexthemedium.com to schedule your reading now and mention House of Mimosa. Obsessed with drag? Want an easy way to find out where to see all your favorite queens? To find out the schedule of all your favorite drag queen performers and links to their like social media sites, download the Drag My City app. Drag My City is a free app on iPhone and Android devices. It's like totally the easiest way to stay connected to your favorite drag superstars. Now there's no excuse to ever miss a drag show in your city. Drag My City, available on iPhone and Android devices now. Drag My City, a proud sponsor of House of Mimosa, the podcast. Download it today. It's like awesome. Hello, House of Mimosa podcast fans.
Hello, everybody.
This is Travis.
And Steven.
And this is House of Mimosa, the podcast. All right, first things first, we have to congratulate Violet Tchotchke.
That's right.
I know that you guys are going to be listening to this a few weeks late. We're right on top of things. We are recording this just finding out
yes. That
Violet Tchotchke has been crowned Drag Race Season 7
winner.
Superstar. Yeah. Congratulations to Violet
Tchotchke. She's the new queen.
What did you think of that finale show?
I loved the new format of the finale show. Did you?
Well, there's a few things I really loved. I love that we got to see them all perform an original song written for them.
I love that. That was my favorite thing.
Yeah.
I think that's what's been missing from it.
I also love that we got to see some footage, or some, not footage necessarily, some things that we normally see in Untucked.
Yes.
Like their parents and the people that support them sending them videos of encouragement.
Well, I think it needed to be seen there otherwise, because we didn't see it early on.
Right.
So it needed to be somewhere.
I think Untucked, although we love it,
in its new format, has really lost an audience.
Yeah.
Because it's not on television anymore. It's not part of the show. It's separate now on YouTube. So
I feel like they added those elements to this finale in case people weren't watching the Untucked at all.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, now, we're just going at this free form. We are not prepared, but let's talk about some looks.
Oh. Well,
did you have a standout? Any favorites?
Well,
from season seven or... what I mean
from the runway of the finale, or
what I mean is, it can be open to all the girls we saw last night in the show. So either season seven's queens
or
queens
anybody
that were in
the
audience.
The
finale.
Well, my favorite. I really loved Violet Chachki's dress that she walked in on the red carpet with.
Which was the thing that had the dress form on it.
Yeah, exactly.
Sequins, the red,
with the like hot pink, and it was like added with all the different colors, and I loved that.
I loved that.
So
I didn't
great.
Love her wig.
You didn't?
See, I like her in the dark color.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, her wig was it blonde for that?
Yeah.
Oh, it was. Okay.
Yeah.
It's confusing because she changed
so
looks like three times. So I'm trying to remember the colors of hair that she had. But yes. But I didn't love that color either on her. I like her in the darker wigs as well.
Yeah.
I like her more in like that auburn or red and then black, of
course.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
Oh, but you love Pearl. You love the Pearl's wig.
I'm getting a lot of flack for the love I've got for Pearl, but I just really connected to her personality, although
mm-hmm.
I know a lot of people say she lacked one.
Yeah.
I think that's kind of a personality. I enjoyed her. I enjoyed her look. I enjoyed that it was old school but modern, and, I enjoyed being able to see her journey and to get to see her wake up, you know? And, so many people are saying, well, she almost walked out. She doesn't deserve to be here. But I think it's one of the things that makes it so she does deserve to get where she was. Because she had a hurdle. She overcame it. I mean, how many times we see other queens like other queens that have had this sort of epiphany or the curtain lifted after some sort of back and forth with Rue, and this growth and then
and
they
some people
it.
Never get that. And they just go home right away.
Right.
Or they only see it when they get sent home.
Who
and
was
like,
it
oh.
last year that Bianca Del Rio connected with?
Trinity Cable A.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And she wasn't a finalist, but she made it really
but
far.
But she made it really far, and she overcame her saboteur.
Yeah,
overcome your saboteur, as Rue would always
saboteur.
Say, and I love that. I love that.
Yeah.
Who else? Oh, my God. There weren't many great dresses on the runway.
I've been more blown away...
Yeah.
In past seasons, I think. Although, again, I'm very critical. But, yeah, no, nothing, there was nothing that, like, super stood out. I did love Violet's dress at the end when they were, when she was crowned.
I thought
that
was beautiful.
The structured shoulder
mm-hmm.
pads.
In the purple, in the
yeah,
violet color,
yeah. mm-hmm.
lavender color. I did love that. I hated Ginger Minj's final
black. Well, this is something that we've been talking about, is Ginger Minj is very polished.
Yeah.
Very polished.
Mm-hmm.
And
she has her strengths, and we've seen
right.
a lot of them.
I just wish, although I guess maybe it's a pageant aesthetic,
yeah.
but to me it reads old.
Mm-hmm.
And I would love to see Ginger Minj kind of give us something that's not so Southern mother. You know what I mean?
Yes,
like, but I do recognize that it is an aesthetic that she is pretty, that... I get it. I would just like to see something else as well.
Yeah, and it is that pageant-y look. It's
yeah.
that, the hair is pulled back, the natural hair is pulled
yeah.
back, sprayed, and then
right.
there's a fall
right.
of some sort.
And this is one of the things that I really love about RuPaul's Drag Race is that we're seeing so many different sides of drag.
Mm-hmm.
They're really, every season we're getting to see a different type of drag, it's just exciting to me. It's
of course.
Just, it's...
And, every queen is different,
yeah.
And I love that diversity that we get to see on the show.
Yeah.
In the very beginning, I don't know if there was as much, and now you're starting to see even more and more, and how many years has it been? It's been at
seven.
Least over 7 years.
Well,
so
this is 7 years.
This is 7 years.
Days,
hello.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's been a long time, and a lot of drag has changed.
Yeah.
And it's great to see that,
And speaking of our favorite drag... We have to give a shout out to Logan Hardcore.
That's right.
Who you heard in a couple episodes prior to this that we kept calling Logan Slaughter.
And Logan Slaughter
is
her name.
Well, here's
her real
funny.
Name.
Here's what's funny is that we posted the podcast and we said featuring Logan Slaughter, and we're so excited to have her on. And if you don't know who she is, look her up, Logan Hardcore. But we went into it with this preconceived notion, because, you know, we're so, oh my God, we're like so removed really from the drag scene, and we're so out of the loop, and we, oh my God, I feel so embarrassed. But we thought she had changed her drag name from Logan Hardcore
to Logan Slaughter at some point.
Right.
Knowing that maybe it was her original name and that she'd stuck with that now, or was going by that now.
I mean, I didn't know. I thought Logan Hardcore was her original drag name, and she changed it to Logan Slaughter.
Me too.
For some reason, that was in my head. I don't know why.
I don't know why either.
But Logan Slaughter, Slaughter is her actual last name.
Is her actual God-given name.
Right. So, so apologies to Logan. She posted on one of our things about the podcast.
And
they call me Logan Slaughter, but they what'd she say? But you can't have beauty and brains.
Well,
so apologies to Logan Hardcore. Please check her out. She's fabulous. If you're out on Cherry Grove, you can see her at the Ice Palace.
That's
she's
right.
Amazing. Stonewall here in the city every Thursday night. She's fantastic.
That's right. And
fantastic.
Then the whole weekend out there on Fire Island.
That's right. In other news, Miss Caitlyn Jenner.
Oh my goodness. Caitlyn
Miss
Jenner.
Miss Caitlyn Jenner.
Hey guys, it's me, Gina Marie. Hey, and before we get into all that Caitlyn Jenner stuff, I want to tell you about something. Mommy's in here. Be out in a minute. I've been listening to this fabulous new book. Well, an audiobook by Susie Orman. It's called Women and Money, Owning the Power to Control Your Destiny. I'm in the bathroom. I'll be right out. God, honeys, if I had the power to choose my own destiny back in the day, I wouldn't have had my two kids. Now, hopefully, with this book, I can get my life back on track. And you can get yours back on track, too, by listening to this audiobook for free. How? By using Audible. God damn it! Joey, you're a boy! You can go outside! Audible is offering our listeners a free audiobook of your choice and a free 30-day trial membership. Just go to audibletrial.com/HOM podcast and choose from over 180,000 audio programs. Download a title free and start listening. It's that easy. Tina Marie, I told you I'm having a UTI flare-up! Give me a goddamn minute! Go to audibletrial.com/HOM podcast. And that's audibletrial.com/HOM podcast. And get started today. How many times do I gotta tell you, kids? If the door's locked, I don't want to be bothered. And Frankie, where are the goddamn baby wipes? You barely wipe your own ass. I know we can't be out.
Caitlyn Jenner on the cover of Vanity Fair magazine looks frickin' fantastic.
Fantastic.
Fan-frickin-tastic.
She looks gorgeous.
She looks so good. I was like, wait a minute, maybe I want to transition.
No,
no, I'm kidding. She really looks so good. In fact, when I saw it, I didn't even recognize her.
Well, I was laughing because I was going through Facebook and looking at some things, and I just happened to pass a picture of it, and I didn't even look twice. And I thought, oh, how funny. They're mocking that Caitlyn Jenner is coming out. I'm like, by putting a picture of Jessica Lange up there in her place. It looked like Jessica Lange.
She does look a little Jessica Lange-esque. Yeah, yeah,
yes.
Yeah. I mean, gorgeous.
Very beautiful.
And the interview with Diane Sawyer was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I went and watched. I've never really watched the Kardashians, and now I'm freaking addicted because I watched the two-part episode where he kind of
mm-hmm.
came out to the, not didn't come out to the family, but
where they were dealing with
yeah.
everything and how the family, you know, the Kardashians
yeah.
were dealing with
yes.
everything that's been happening. Since.
I was blown away with how well spoken and how great Kim was.
Yeah,
and it really made me like her. I really was kind of indifferent about the Kardashians prior.
And a lot of the stuff on there, I was surprised to hear, like, the stuff with Kanye West and how open he was to the
yeah.
whole experience and helping Kim along with the
yeah.
journey. And
I think it's just another
really
reminder
cool.
of, you know, it's really important to live your passion, like we say, and
yeah.
and live your life in a way that makes you happy. You know, we're all so wrapped up and worried about what other people think of us.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that can be really scary, especially for our young listeners, but you know, you have to find a way to do what makes you happy. And if you have to do it, I don't know, in a way that, you know, you have to do it in solitude at first
yeah.
to become comfortable. I don't know, but whatever you have to do whatever brings you joy or whatever makes you feel fulfilled in life, you have to do it. And you can't worry
about what
people think.
Well, I think you have to face your inner demons at first. And then, you know, by saying these things to yourself and putting it out there, then you become comfortable with whenever it's so sad to you me want that, to approach.
Well, it's so sad to me that your inner demons can be the thought of what other people are going to think of me.
Mm.
You know, remember when we started drag and we would not leave the house with a stitch of costume or makeup on?
Yeah.
We would go to the venue and get ready at the venue, and then get totally out of costume. And now we don't give an F.
Now I don't care if I go to Starbucks
in half face.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, like we don't. You know, it's something that I think maybe as you grow older and you become more comfortable with yourself, that you start to get this attitude of screw everybody else. I don't care.
Yeah, this is who I am.
Wish
and
I had
I don't
that
care.
15
yeah.
years ago.
Of course, no.
I really felt for him when he was talking to the family about how they thought he was kind of keeping stuff from him.
Yeah.
And he was saying, well, for 65 years I've had secrets, and so
he's
it's
used
hard
to doing
for
it.
Me to switch to just being totally open.
Yeah, because he's not sure how they're all going to feel about it.
Yeah.
You know, especially his younger kids.
I think what he was saying was that he subconsciously, because
just
he's kept
this.
Secrets for 65 years, now he's not used to being open about this kind of thing.
Exactly.
So he just isn't, you know?
Yeah, no, of course
and,
not.
Oh my God, and the scene with Kris Jenner where
when he goes back to the house and has that meeting with her
and
after
she's
a while
just
of
crying
not talking.
And saying, I miss Bruce.
Course,
like,
yeah.
I was like, I couldn't help it. Oh my God, I really felt for her.
You know, and the whole time he's trying to reiterate to everybody, I am Bruce, it's just going to be a little different right now.
The packaging will be different.
The packaging
yeah.
is going to be different, but I'm still here. I'm still your dad.
Right.
And I will always be your dad
yeah.
or your father figure.
Yeah.
You know?
And he said, you know, in fact, it'll probably make our relationships better because he'll be happy.
That's right.
And it was interesting to hear Kris say that he was so unhappy for so long and she knew it.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Very sad.
A sad situation.
And, you know, I mean, you know, it's very hard. It's very hard.
Somebody brought up on Facebook, do you think the reaction to Bruce coming out as Caitlyn and the cover of Vanity Fair would be different if she wasn't as beautiful? Because, you know, there's a lot of... Oh, a lot. There's. I imagine there are transgendered people out there that don't have the money to have the type
of work
that he's been able to have.
Yeah, so his unveiling has been, like, transitioning little by little, and now it's like he's had major surgery done
quite a few times
to achieve the look that we are seeing for the first time as a woman, but not really for the first time as a woman.
So this person on Facebook said they wondered if the reaction would be as supportive if she wasn't as beautiful.
I mean, you can say the same thing for someone who would have come out and isn't famous. You know, the support may not have been that way either.
Yeah.
You know?
It'll be very interesting to see, and regardless of all that, it's such a huge thing for the trans community.
Oh, definitely.
And what a great person to bring this to the forefront.
That's right. And now she has a platform, and hopefully she will do a lot with that platform.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Well, you know us, we are big believers in living your life, living your passion, and recently we were both lucky enough to get some spiritual guidance from an amazing psychic medium. His name is Alex the Medium, and we've got him with us right after this.
Sickening. Fierce. Work. Do you love drag queens?
Are you looking for a way to calm your nerves?
Of course you are. Hi, I'm Robert.
And I'm Daniel.
And we host Grizzly Kiki, an oral history of drag and nightlife entertainment.
We dig deep and get to know your favorite drag queens and nightlife personalities.
Who have we interviewed? I'm glad you asked.
Get your dustpan ready, because we're about to drop some names.
Bianca Del Rio.
Bob the Drag Queen.
Fifi O'Hara.
Peaches Christ.
Alaska Thunderfuck.
Jackie Beat.
Adore Delano.
And many more.
We've even interviewed the House of Mimosa.
So come join the party at grizzlykiki.com or subscribe on iTunes today.
Yas, Haney.
Hey guys, it's DJ Anita B here, providing all of my specially curated music just for House of Mimosa, the podcast. I hope you guys enjoy it. And remember, if you've got a song you want me to play, just shoot me a message on my Facebooks or my Instagrammies. Right now, I've got one of my favorite bands, the Sugar Sisters, with their song, Baby Come Home, from the album Magic Hour.
I don't mind if you're running around giving someone the time. My head.
scared of the lonely. I'm too cool to lose my control. You're too cool to call. Maybe I just don't wanna know. I can't sleep, let's lay him beside me. I got no doubt that you'd be just fine if you were living without me. I just can't let you start it tonight. 9, 10, 11, now midnight strikes. I don't know where you've been, but I still wanna make love tonight. Baby, come home to me. Baby, come home to me. It's a half past quarter to three. Baby, come home to me. Baby, come home.
Guys, we are committed to bringing you fun, special, interesting guests every week, and this week is no exception.
No.
We're so excited to have Alex with us. Alex the Medium, welcome.
Hi.
Good to see you again.
Yeah, well, yes. We have both had readings with Alex in the past, and I have to be honest, I was a skeptic in the beginning, and I hope that doesn't offend you.
No, not at all.
I was a skeptic in the beginning. In fact, even after my first reading, I was kind of like, okay.
You didn't know how to take it
all
in.
It was good, but I was, you know, I remember still feeling a little like, you know, all right, okay. And then I was with Steven.
When I was read, yeah.
Who, you know, I mean, we have been friends for 10 years.
10 years at least, yeah.
And I was with him when you gave him his first reading and was blown away.
Yeah, it was really awesome. It was a great experience.
This is such a different, like, and fun thing. I hope I'm going to do the interview here justice, or you have being our guest justice. But I guess we should start off with talking about like how it works for you. Or
yeah, absolutely. Well, first I want to address, you know, like you said, you were a skeptic, which doesn't offend me at all,
mm-hmm.
because I think, you know, everyone has their own belief system, and I think maybe when I do give readings to people that do have a little bit of skepticism, they kind of aren't as open maybe to listening to what I have to say. So it takes a little time to dawn on them, which I think was the case with you. And then you opened up and kind of took in some of what you were being told.
I can see that now, and I totally understand. And after experiencing Stephen's reading with him and knowing all I knew
about
Stephen for 10 years,
yeah.
and you not knowing him and giving him that reading, I was really blown away.
Yeah, it
blown
was
away.
Very interesting and insightful.
And something,
you know?
Something else that was kind of, I remember, unique to Stephen's experience versus yours is that someone very specific
came through for me
to talk to
so
Stephen.
So I guess we should say that, I mean, I know we have very smart listeners, but
yeah.
Maybe we should specifically talk about what that means. So you connect with spirits or...
Yes.
Okay.
So basically, I'll give you a little rundown. I know you guys know it, but I'll give a concise one for listeners of how I started doing this. So picture it, 20 years ago, 1995, Gainesville, Florida. I'm an acting student at the University of Florida, and I'm doing a play. There's just three of us in the play, and it's a very kind of dramatic, intense play. The director slash teacher thought it would be a good idea to have a medium come in to kind of help open us up and get to that emotional place. And I remember being very excited about it. I was 19 years old. No one had died in my life. But I was just excited at the notion that, you know, I'd be able to speak with someone.
Yeah, of course.
And then the day came of the woman coming who was actually a student at the school as well, who I later on was mentored by. And I got very nervous. And I'd never had stage fright before. I'd never really experienced nerves. Like I said, no one I knew had died, so I didn't have anyone I was specifically expecting to hear from. But I just felt this sensation of nerves or kind of jitters at the prospect of what would happen. So I sit down. She gives everyone else a reading first, and I'm last. And when she gets across from me, she sits across from me, she says, she kind of has a smile on her face, and she said, "This is very interesting. The person who's here to talk to you says that they haven't seen you since you were a child, and they're very excited to talk to you again." And I thought, that's weird. You know, I don't know who it could be.
Yeah.
And she said, she said, "You used to talk to him all the time." And immediately I had a memory of being, I don't know, maybe 4, 5, 6, between those ages, of having what I thought was an imaginary friend. And I thought of him instantly, and the sensation of talking to him and what it was like for him to be in the room, all of that came back to me instantly. But I still said, "No, I don't know what you're talking about," to her, because, I don't know, I was nervous or didn't know what I was feeling, I guess.
Wait, so she was basically telling you that you also are a medium or have the ability, is basically what she's
not
saying.
Not quite yet.
Not yet.
I think she didn't realize at that time who this was, but I did. So she asked again, she's like, "Well, he's being very adamant that he wants to talk to you. And are you sure there isn't someone who used to talk to him all the time? He says he used to talk to him all the time." Mm-hmm. And I said, "Well, when I was 4, 5, 6 years old, I had an imaginary friend." And she said, with a K, she started kind of sounding out a K sound.
Yeah.
And I said, "Kazoo." And she said, "Yes, that's him." And so it was very strange for me, because it was this overwhelming sensation of kind of like a childhood friend or someone who, you know, that memory. I don't know if you guys have had that experience where you kind of, this memory comes back and it's almost like you can smell everything right. from that moment.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so that's your what sensors. It felt like. And it was surreal, because I kind of thought, how could this be? I thought, or I made up my mind as I got older, that he was imaginary because no one else was talking to him, just me.
Of course.
And so the reading went on, and we talked a little bit about my childhood, and he'd been with me that entire time. He's a spirit guide. I named him Kazoo, I came to find out later, because of an episode of The Flintstones where Fred Flintstone had this imaginary person that came around him.
He was like an alien. Named,
yes.
Yes, from
yeah.
the future.
Yes.
Yeah.
And his name was Guzzoo. And I misspelled it and named my fella Kazoo.
Kazoo.
And so the more I talked to her, it kind of went on and on. Everyone else got a 20-minute reading, but mine went on for an hour and beyond.
Wow.
And at some point, she was asking me questions, trying to get me to remember things. And the best way I can describe it is that it's almost like a thought popped into my head that wasn't my own. It wasn't audible. It was, although it has been for me at times, audible. It was almost just a thought, or like a stream of consciousness was coming at me that I didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
And so as she asked me questions, he would kind of tell me, "Well, tell her this, tell her that." And I thought, that's weird. And she sensed it instantly. She said, "Are you hearing him?" And I said, "No, of course," because I just, at that moment, I guess at 19, I was a big liar. And I felt ashamed, embarrassed or whatever. And I said, "No." And she looked up and she's like, "No, he just told me you hear him. You can hear him." And she asked me a question, which I can't remember to this day, but she asked me a question and said, "No one knows the answer to this. It's a one-word answer, but I'm just going to ask you this." And she did. And she said, before I answered, she said, "Say what that voice tells you." So I did. And she said, "No one knows that except you, me, and Kazoo and my guide." I still don't know what it means or what it meant to her, but... you know, that was kind of like a momentous day for me to kind of reconnect with him.
It was a breakthrough
so
for you.
This is what I'm curious about. Like, so this gift, talent that you have, that you didn't realize was a gift or a talent when you were young.
Right.
it just like you were able to click back into it in that moment, or like how?
Yeah, literally just by kind of remembering him, it's almost like, I don't know, it's like if you see an old friend or someone you hadn't seen for years and years.
It brings back that rush of memories
and the stories. Experience. Mm-hmm. And the experience. I've even had, like, I've run into friends of my mother from when I was a child who, you know, like, I don't remember them, but they remember me because their best friend had a kid and blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. But that kind of sensation of youth or the past or the feeling that I felt when I was with him of safe, of companionship, all those feelings kind of came back. And so somehow I feel like it just kind of opened up that connection. And I think the connection I didn't, you know, try to close up. Maybe my mother told me, stop talking to imaginary people.
Uh-huh.
Maybe as I got older, I thought, this is weird. People are going to think it's weird. I shouldn't do it. Whatever those, you know, society stigmas that mm-hmm. happen as you
exactly.
get older. Whereas when I was younger, I was more open to things and open to not caring or thinking there was something wrong with it.
Uh-huh. I'm so fascinated by
it. It's very fascinating, right?
So I think I just kind of talked to him. And it's interesting when you say gifts, because to me, and I'm not trying to be humble, but to me it's not a gift because I've just been able to do it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not, I don't think of it as a talent because I don't do anything. I don't hone, I have somewhat through the years, but I don't practice it like a singer does with their voice. It's just something I've always had. And luckily, I have him, who's kind of with me all the time and helps me kind of
tap into whatever's out
there. Right, and speak to other people. Mm-hmm. He's been beneficial to me in my career as a medium because when I was younger giving readings to people, it was hard for me to wean out negative spirits or people that weren't there for the best or for the higher
intentions.
Good.
So I've got so many questions and I want to get to them.
Yeah.
So, okay, so question number one, based on what you just said. So, you now are able to filter out spirits
Absolutely.
Or energies that may not be the best.
Absolutely. And
how do you know that?
Well, the first thing I do, I respect and understand that he will do that for me. 100%.
Because
yes.
now you've had that relationship
yes.
with him.
It's almost like he's my apprentice. It's really like I'm his apprentice, actually. He kind of gives the reading and I'm just the telephone or the channeler or
mm-hmm.
of whatever he's getting from people.
Okay, so let me ask my next question.
Yeah.
Just so I want to get to them. So, it's a stream of thought consciousness that isn't your own.
Uh-huh.
And are you able to, like, turn it on and off? Like, is it
yes.
something that, like, okay, I don't want to think about this scary clown movie I watched last night, so I'm just going to focus on not thinking about it. Is
yes.
that kind of how...
Kind of. You know, I think because when I was younger and I'd seen spirit guides, some of them weren't the most positive and it scared me. So for a while, I kind of left it and I thought, I don't want to do this anymore. I don't want to talk to anyone,
yes.
including Kazoo.
Mm-hmm.
And then as
Did Kazoo scare you ever?
No. But just the idea that this came to me and that people knew about it and they wanted readings or they wanted to talk to him,
mm-hmm.
it kind of... you know, spread, and especially in school, and so it kind of became part of my daily life, and I didn't really want it at that time. I wanted to be an actor, and I thought it was, I'd seen negative things, so I wasn't 100% feeling safe with it, but then...
So what do you feel about, I'm sorry to keep interrupting you, I just have so many, I'm sorry, well, how do you feel about those negative things? Like, how do you know that those negative things aren't supposed to relay a message?
They possibly are, but this is what I believe. I think that if they're not here to relay a message in a positive, giving, constructive way, then it's not useful information.
Uh-huh.
Sometimes I think there are spirits out there that maybe still hold on to resentments or have an emotional connection, and that overbearing emotion will kind of weigh down their message and not give you information you need to further yourself.
Uh-huh.
Instead, it would just make you kind of miss them or make things morose. Sometimes it's not negative, you know, it's not like, you know, bad energy. It's just sometimes not positive, not helpful, not constructive.
Okay.
So
I get
the
chills.
He kind of, you know, does that for me. I can speak to other people with Steven's. When I gave Steven a reading,
mm-hmm.
his grandmother came through, and it was very easy to talk to her directly, so I kind of didn't use Kazoo at that moment.
Mm.
That happens sometimes mostly with people that I've met before, not a complete stranger.
Have more rapport
yeah,
with.
Yeah, like I'd met Steven before
yes.
several times, and so I knew I had a rapport with him, so it was easier. And sometimes I just rely on him because the session's an hour and a half, and I want to get the most information out as concisely as possible. But the more you get to know me and the more we do this, the easier, the more we work together.
Well, and that's what I think is so great, is that we have made the connection between you and some of our friends that see you on a regular basis. And I think that that's something that's so great because, you know, we, our understanding of psychic medium is the Long Island medium. You know? And something that, that you do that we don't see on that show is there's, not only do you give the information, but you give the information and kind of help, like, okay, now what are you going to do with this?
Exactly. Like, what? Like in a therapeutic kind of guidance way. You know?
And it's not really me. Like I said, it's him kind of doing that. And the thing, I'm glad you brought up the Long Island medium because I kind of want to give you a perspective of how I'm different than her. One thing is, I feel like, although it is something that a lot of people are interested in, I know that there's a lot of people that are not interested in it. So I find it very invasive to just go up to strangers and say, oh, did you lose someone at this time and blah, 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 blah. You know, that works for her, and the people on the TV show that we watch seem to be very responsive to when she does that. But to me, it's a little invasive and I don't feel comfortable doing it. So it's not something I do. Something else that's different is that I will tell you, I don't know, or I don't hear anything. You're not just going to, I'm not going to give you answers. I feel like some of the mediums that we see on television always have an answer for everything. If I don't get them, or if you want to talk to someone and they're not here, I'm not going to make it up. They're not here. Sorry.
They're not there.
You know, let's work with who is here. Let's work with what is being said.
And you have said, you know, it, we've talked about this outside of the recording here, that spirits do move on to different planes, different...
Yeah, you know, it's almost like, you know, you have to kind of get on board with,
I mean, this is a whole nother like podcast episode we could talk about, but
let me, in a nutshell, it's like you have to get on board with the idea of reincarnation. That isn't necessarily what it's like for them, Kazoo tells me, but for our small, dumb human brains to understand, he literally, he just said, we have to use the term reincarnation. So it's almost as if you, the soul, has the ability to expand or grow. And the best way that it can do that is by using lives to do so. It gets to a certain point. Again, this is in simplistic human mind terms for us to understand. It gets to a certain point where they've kind of reached a certain potential where they kind of don't need to go through lives anymore to grow. I guess they've gotten to a pinnacle. I'm sure there's probably something beyond that that's beyond our comprehension. It's kind of, I always think of it kind of like our, like the universe, or we know we have, you know, the planets that we know of, but there's probably other galaxies out there that we can't even fathom. They must exist. So it's like that, in a way, so that they maybe reach a higher level. And so there's not the need to kind of reincarnate anymore.
So that may be why the spirit is not there.
Correct.
Like if somebody wants to connect to grandma.
Or they moved on. Or they moved on. Yeah.
So, and do you ever get the, like how the Long Island medium does go up to people because she's like, this person is wants to tell you something. Do you ever get that? Do you ever get the impression? Or
you know, because I have like a, because I have like a working relationship with Kazoo, he knows I won't do that. So, no. If it's someone I know, personally, friend or even just good acquaintance, he will kind of tell me, and I'll kind of, what I like to do is sneak it in without saying
I'm a medium.
I mean, they know I'm a medium if they're my friend, but I won't kind of say we're having a reading now because who says this,
right?
I'll just say, you know, maybe you should think about this. And usually, for instance, this happens with Michelle a lot. She'll say, did spirit say that? Jokingly using like terms that the Long Island medium uses, and I'll say yes or no. So it's kind of that simple.
It's very fascinating.
I mean, we could go on and on and on and on. We could, but I know we, Steve and I talked about maybe having you give a little reading for our listeners with us through one of our listeners.
Yeah.
For our
here listeners. On the podcast.
So the way it works when usually I give a reading, which you guys know, is that we'll sit together and I'll kind of let it be, leave the ball in your court. If you want to start the session by asking specific questions, I do that. If you want to just sit and wait and let's hear what Kazoo has to say that other people are saying.
And something else I wanted to make sure our listeners understood that we talked about before was that you don't predict the future.
No. In fact, even just the word medium to me, I think the connotation, it is what I am. But sometimes I think people think that means psychic or fortune teller, which is not what I am. In fact, I don't necessarily believe it's possible to kind of tell the future because we have free will. So you get information every day, or you have emotions that guide you or instincts that guide you, and you choose the paths or whether to do something or not do it because you want to.
So that can change the course of your
outcome. Of course.
Yeah.
There's no way anyone can tell you what's going to happen. You literally are the master of your own destiny. Destiny isn't something that magically happens and you have to wait for it. You literally have to work towards your specific destiny.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That's funny.
So I know that Steven has had some stuff that he's been kind of
working through,
and yes. So I'm going to let you...
Well, she's already here.
Oh, she is.
So since
she was here the minute I sat down.
Since our listeners aren't in the room with us, I want them to understand that you're referencing that a spirit, is here.
Which is Steven's grandmother.
Yeah.
Which is who came through when I
sat
in the room.
When you sat
with
me the last time.
Okay.
Yeah. And she's always around.
So she is always around.
She always checks in, and she checks in with you, and she checks in with your mother.
Yeah.
She checks in with your aunt.
Oh, wow.
She checks in with your sister, but not as much as you.
Okay.
Because she had a stronger connection to you. Don't tell her.
Okay.
She said, don't tell
her. We'll edit that.
Well, no, she just had, there was just something about a boy or, she had a certain
connection. Well, it's Italian, right?
It's an Italian thing with mothers and grandmothers with their boy
children
or grandchildren.
Boy, and that you kind of adored her in a way that she responded to.
Oh, yeah.
Whereas your sister kind of, there was the love there, but there wasn't a special kind of extra
connection.
That you had.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I think I was also the youngest and the baby. And I think that that had a lot to do with it. And I was around my mom so much. And I had a hard time meeting friends and this and that. And going to grandma's was having friends and doing this and extracurricular things.
And she thinks that she's very similar to you in many ways, or that you're kind of the person in the family that she always found to be closest to the way that she behaves or thinks.
So I just want to reiterate again to our listeners, because they're not in the room with us, this is what you're being told by her right now.
Yes.
So Stephen's grandmother's spirit is with you right now.
Yes.
Yes.
And you're hearing her.
It's literally like Whoopi and Ghost, and she's Patrick Swayze, and I'm Whoopi.
So you're...
Oh, wow.
That's a really good way to make
explosion. I mean, literally, that's what it's like for me.
But you're hearing, you don't see.
I can, and I have. I
choose not to.
You have seen.
Yes.
You choose not to. Okay. Okay. I'm just trying to paint a good picture.
Just for me. And I think I'll get to that point eventually again where I feel comfortable to do so again.
Mm-hmm.
But this just works so well for me right now. And it's so easy with Kazoo that just let him do it. And I just kind of...
Uh-huh.
Yeah. With this situation, again, I've given Steven a session before, so...
And it was easy to
I can speak
let her.
Directly.
Okay.
So well, I don't know if there's anything
she
wants to tell me first.
You can go ahead and ask a question. It feels like you have one.
Well, I know that...
But I'm interested to see
if she has anything to say first, maybe, and then we can ask questions.
Okay. Well, she does have something to say, which is that the biggest regret, if she had to tell you that she had one in life, is that she never used her voice.
Mm.
She never spoke about what she really felt because she always felt it was easier to be quiet and to let other people do their own things. And then she would kind of maneuver around them and their dysfunctions.
Yes.
But that not using her voice was her dysfunction.
Mm-hmm.
So she sees that trait in you as well.
Yeah.
And she would really like for you to break free
of that cycle.
That you often say that you think you're just like your mother, but that's not quite correct. You're more like her.
I'm more like her. Yeah. And I can see that.
You're more aware of surroundings and things.
And
then,
had to manipulate, like, and I think that she was always good at kind of like taking somebody in and seeing what their struggle was, and then maneuvering how to go about.
She's saying there is one thing that you get that you and your mother share is that sometimes it's difficult for you and your mother, and your sister too, to see beyond a certain view, meaning. Almost like blinders on to only seeing it this way. This is the way I see it. This is a safe way. It's easy. It's comfortable. I'm not seeing anything else.
Mm-hmm.
You know that there's more beyond that, but it's not convenient.
Mm-hmm.
It's not comfortable. So the challenge for you is, well, get uncomfortable, because comfortable is not going to lead you to what you want.
No.
Oftentimes you say things like this is the way I do it, or this is the way my family does it, and you kind of set yourself up to not see things in a bigger way.
Yeah.
Because of the comfort it feels that it's the way that your family does it. So just don't confuse that. You're confusing tradition with closed-mindedness or unopenness. Mm. That's something she's saying. And that's something she did always, because it was her. She literally maneuvered around everyone else to kind of always be a safety net and not really give her opinion and not really express mm-hmm. what she wanted.
But to adapt to the to people adapt to around
everyone
her.
Else's and I feel dysfunction. Like I
do the same thing.
Yes. Yeah. And then there are things that she wanted, but she figured she wanted to take care of everyone else more.
Did she? Like, did,
so that's what she did.
What were the things that she wanted? Because I'd always... I know that there were things that were special and unique to her, but...
Well, they were very secretive and she never really spoke about them.
Mm.
They're similar to you, but it's not acting or singing necessarily. Mm. But there was something artistic. There was something creative.
Uh-huh.
I think something to do with... not fashion, but clothing.
Yes,
or
sewing.
Seamstress.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And so...
Always.
I just got the chills.
Yeah.
I just
but
got
yes, the she loved making clothes.
Mm-hmm. Because yeah. I know you have said to me before... God, I wish I had some of the old stuff my grandma used to make.
Yeah.
So that we could have it for
yes.
jewelry.
And like jewelry
and
that she loved that was a little bit more like
uh-huh.
fashion.
Well, and I just want to say, because when I said not fashion but seamstress, I asked fashion and she said no, because it was like she's being
modest. Yes.
There was an aesthetic and a style
mm-hmm.
that she was interested in, but she liked to be like, oh, I'll just sew that. I don't know why. She always liked to diminish.
Yeah. She was very modest. Yeah, definitely.
Crippling so.
Yes.
Which now she sees, and
mm-hmm.
she still does.
And I think I'm the same way a little bit with gifts that I have or talents that I have, you know.
Or exploring and expanding them.
Yes.
Because if you are quiet about them, or if you don't kind of, you know, it's easy for us when something makes us uncomfortable to make excuses and therefore not have to deal with it.
Mm.
But if we break through that membrane... I don't like saying walls. I like saying membrane, because that feels something like you could punch through easier.
Mm-hmm.
If you break through that and you're in the thick of it, then you kind of have to work through it as opposed to avoid it. It takes more work to avoid and to try and remain comfortable than it does to actually just take a risk and then go with it. And so she challenges you to do that with whatever kind of... challenges are you're being faced with currently
mm-hmm.
in a creative way
yes.
specifically in a creative way, because it's not it doesn't have to do with I'm telling you everything she's saying we'll be here all day running mouth it doesn't have to do with it doesn't have to do with a tangible work or keeping busy. It has to do with creative work. That's what you're avoiding by keeping busy.
Mm.
You can do all that work till the cows come home, and you've always done that work.
Yeah.
But what about creative? What about getting out of comfort zone? That's a really big one for you. That was for her as well. Get out of comfort zone. Take big risks.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see how they don't work. What if they do? A, and B, what if they don't work, but it gives you an idea of how it might work better?
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to kind of not going that far. The slower it takes you to get to that large risk, the longer it will take you to reach the benefits of the risk-taking.
Mm.
What does Steven's grandma think of me?
Oh, great.
That's what's most
She
important.
Says you're the opposite of Steven. Bossy pants. That's what she said.
Yeah. Is that what she said?
Yeah.
It's true. It's Aww. True.
Bossy pants. But it's good because it motivates and
mm-hmm.
and that's the kind of person that she always
gravitated
was able
towards.
To relate. Yes.
Yes.
Gravitate towards and relate to and kind of yin to yang.
Mm-hmm.
So your relationship is very similar
yeah.
to that of hers and her husband.
Uh-huh.
Oh, God.
Is that interesting? That's funny, because I know that the last time he wasn't around, or that he didn't come through at all, and I think that he had moved on to a different plateau, possibly.
Maybe. He's not here again.
He's not here yet. But that's funny that she says that. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was kind of like that.
And she wants you to really be open to, this is the thing that's at hand right now. It's like you've been given this lump of clay, meaning your creative work, your life work. You're acting the show, Mimosa, is that. And so it's a lump of clay, and you look at it and you think, oh, what am I going to do with this? But if you just shift your perspective and think, I can do anything with this. I can make it what I want it to be. I can mold it into what's best for me. Maybe I don't know what that is yet, but let me get my hands dirty and play with
it
a little
bit. And
see
what it could be.
Mm-hmm. And that's a really great thing that you have that right now as kind of an obstacle that's been presented, or kind of like it's been put in your path to have to work with it.
Yeah.
Because it's something you need to work with in every aspect of your life. It's something that, you know, it's almost like you have a plate. And if you put all the meat and the potatoes and the greens on one side of the plate, well, the other end is going to lift up like a seesaw.
Yeah.
So it's kind of about being well-rounded. So what about romantic relationships? What about the other relationships in your life with your friends, with your family, and what's going on with them that you can kind of create more insight for people? In your family, she's just going on and on. Okay. In your family, you're kind of the nucleus, like she was.
Mm.
Because everyone has closed-minded opinions, and they put their foot down and throw little fits.
Mm.
And you don't.
Mm-hmm.
And you see it.
I don't.
And you mediate.
I'm the mediator. Yeah.
That's
so funny. We just had a conversation about
this
in the car.
He was on the phone with a family member this morning.
Being my grandmother.
And this is
being
exactly
the mediator.
What happened.
But mediating isn't what's best.
No.
It's just what's easiest for you in the moment.
Mm.
So how can you kind of, you know, ruffle things up and make
waves?
Well,
what she's saying is have a voice and say what's right. Say what
you know, say
you think.
To said person, I think when you say that, you're actually doing this. It's kind of like dropping a bit of information. It's not accusing. It's not, they might get defensive, but the best way to handle it is to say what needs to be said, the elephant in the room, and then just leave it at that. Don't say it in a way to create conversation. Just say, when you say things like that, I think it makes so-and-so feel really insecure. And I can relate to that, because when you've said it to me, it makes me feel
like... Is that what
she's
saying to you right now?
Yes.
That is so crazy to me, because that is exactly
what happened
this morning.
In the car. Yeah.
I can't.
I know.
I can't believe it.
What happened? Well, we don't want
to
talk about
we don't have to go to specifics, but I was having a conversation with a family member, and, you know, they were talking about something that was occurring recently, and they thought it was a certain way, and this is why this other person is doing this. And I said, no, it's not. It's because of this X, Y, and Z. Mm-hmm. And maybe
you
should think, but I was kind of like,
more mediating.
I was more like saying, well, it's possibly because this other person does X, Y, and Z so that nobody is offended. And you know,
but you
did. And my
really
mother was like,
no.
Oh, I thought it was my mom. It's okay.
You didn't come right out and say, though.
Yeah, you were kind of.
Tiptoeing around it.
Yeah, I wasn't direct. I was just trying to say, well, maybe you should open your mind up a little and think of it as this way.
Yeah.
Without saying it directly like that.
Sometimes being blunt is sharper
and
harder, but it also gets the job done quicker and we can move on from it.
Mm.
And I think said family member is in a lot of unnecessary pain.
Yeah.
Because I know the story, and I know you, and I know said family member.
Of course.
And I think that that person is
There's
in a lot
of
pain,
of
and they don't need to be.
Things in the past.
It's just a misunderstanding.
Of course.
And
she... Yeah, just...
Said person needs to let it go, girl.
Let it go. Just let it go. Yeah.
There you go.
There's a lot of that in my family. Just people have to let go of the past, and start fresh, and start new.
Also, your diet is wrong, she's saying. She's saying what you want... what you want to achieve, or how you're dieting or watching what you eat.
Yeah.
It's become routine, but it's not necessarily what your body needs to achieve the goal you want for your body.
Mm.
So don't, again, pigeonhole the idea that if I eat this, this, and this, if I don't eat that, that'll get a result. That's not right.
Yeah.
More eating. will give you the result.
More and probably, yeah.
Dispersed. Yeah. More and more dispersed.
More and more often.
More and more often.
Of course, Grandma would talk about
more
eating.
Little, but more often. Little portions, but more often.
But descending in volume as the day goes on.
Yeah.
So eating the most
in
early.
In the morning, yeah.
Too bad. Make yourself.
Yeah. Yeah.
Too bad.
Yeah.
Eat it. That's when you have to eat it.
Yeah.
At the beginning of the day. Not 2 hours before going to bed.
She's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I try to eat like a bird in the morning because I'm like, I don't like breakfast. I don't like this. And yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes there's a notion with food, and it's with both of you. It's actually with me as well. Food sometimes is a reward for the work I did, or I've done this and now I want that. So I'm going to have it. For me, I like to say not reward, but that it's a treat. I treat myself.
Yeah, yeah.
And I love food, as do you.
I know, because it was so prominent in my family.
And making it and everything that goes into it. But it's about kind of do that from the beginning of the day, not holding out till later.
Yes.
There's something about that aspect of the
diet
idea.
That's so funny because today I was thinking to myself, I'm like, I literally try to watch everything I eat the whole day so that by dinner, if whatever it's going
to
be is more fattening,
wait, so now I have
then
to ask
I
again,
decide.
Is that directly from her or are you just saying that?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, I don't.
So maybe she understood what I was thinking today and because that was my brain pattern today was like I try to eat nothing and I was worried today because I had like lunch and it was not the greatest and I had breakfast and it wasn't the greatest today. Yeah. And
wait, so could spirits tap into our thoughts then?
Yeah.
And they hear our thoughts?
Yeah, totally.
Any spirit can hear our thought.
If they want to, sure.
Yeah.
If they're invested.
Oh, that's so funny.
They don't necessarily have to have a connection to you. Sometimes those higher powered ones kind of tap in moments like this. If, for instance, there isn't a family member like your grandmother that's so readily available, they will kind of tap in and give a little nugget of wisdom if it's going to be helpful because it's emotionless. It's just to help.
I have a question.
Yeah.
My mother has had an issue. Well, she years ago, she kind of had a near-death experience, which then, I believe, has made her have a closeness to spirits that have been closer to her, like family members, but never directly. It's always been through a dream state or something that she... It's always dream state
because of fear.
Ah.
And it's not from... She's always been able to do that. It wasn't from the near-death experience.
Oh, it wasn't?
No.
Okay. It's just something that she's afraid to go to that next level.
Yeah.
So is this a power we all have?
Yeah, in a way. You know, he always I always call myself... I think of myself as a lazy medium because...
The lazy medium!
I'm the lazy medium because I literally have Gazoo to just to ask for everything.
Yes.
And he's readily available and we have a unique situation where he's with me and... for another day, I'll tell you the whole story of like why he's connected to me specifically.
Mm.
But I think we all have what he likes to call intuition or instinct. Instinct is a stronger word, he just said. We all have instinct, and that's the truest thing that we have to follow. Some people like to follow religion. Some people have instinct that is saturated in religion, and so it works for them. Other people use religion as security and don't really follow their instinct. They think if they follow certain rules, then they'll be A-okay, right? We made a deal, right? Well, with who? Who'd you make that deal with? That's not as true as you knowing in your gut, this is wrong for me, this is right for me.
Mm.
Your gut tells you, I want to do this, I don't want to do this. And your gut tells you specifically, I want to do this. And your mind is the one that kind of makes excuses or tries to talk you out of it because of this, that, or the other. It'll be uncomfortable. It'll be hard work or you don't know the outcome. Better to just stay safe and unhappy, I guess. But that's not right. What your gut tells you is what you have to follow. So that's your instinct. Sometimes people who are... The more in tune you are with your instinct and your gut following it, the more you can kind of feel like nudges from spirit guides or the universe at hand, the whole vastness of the world, kind of helping you, do it. Yeah, that's right. You know, you kind of get those little feelings. Some people get connections in dreams. Some people get signs throughout their day or throughout their, if you have a question, which I know this is something you've dealt with in doing drag, we've had a discussion where you kind of were like, you know, on the fence of where you stood in the drag world, and then a series of events took place in your life that led you to, no, it's this, no, you're right.
Right.
And you had no choice but to follow.
So I have a question regarding us all having this power. I, the other day, felt like I was getting a message.
Uh-huh.
Are you able to ask Kazoo if that was what that was?
He says it was sort of, it started out as you being receptive to something, but then your own emotion kind of became wrapped up in it and became bigger than what the thing started out being.
So,
because it's like, it was Jesus. He's joking. He has a terrible sense of humor, which I never share with people in readings, but I can with you guys. he says, you know, sometimes he doesn't feel like it was someone specific, but almost like an accumulation of energy that you already knew within you.
Uh-huh.
And so when you ask the question, it kind of
came back at
maybe it came back at you in that way, so that you could profoundly understand it and let it go.
And it's funny because I could never—I don't think I've ever never felt that. I've never experienced that.
Mm.
So I was really like, "Oh my god,
yeah."
I'm interested to ask. I know we're like over time, and like I'm contemplating should we do part two because it's so exciting and interesting. But I hope you guys are all still listening with us and. I know you're going to be talking with Stephen, but I'm wondering if there's anything you're hearing from me. Like, as quickly as Stephen's grandmother showed up, I'm wondering if there's anything.
There isn't a specific person like there was for Stephen with you that had that connection the way that his grandmother had.
Yeah.
So it's more nuggets from all kinds of people. And there are people that step in that don't necessarily, that are all kind of, it's more accumulative, like I said before. Of nudging, of like, yes, go, do it. Yes, do it.
Mm-hmm.
Open up, open up. You both have the same journey of opening up.
Mm.
You've kind of surpassed one. You, Travis,
have
surpassed one. And Steven's right at the beginning of that same obstacle.
Uh-huh.
But you can help each other with that.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I believe that.
So you get more of kind of like nudges. You get signs a lot. And your instincts are very strong and you're very good at following them. Where you get stumbling blocks is when you kind of overthink things or overanalyze the product end of things.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of going through the artistic, let it be what it will be way, and then kind of finessing at the end. That would be better and easier and more fun for you. If you think that way, you can think product oriented or result oriented, but not get wrapped up in it if it's not the way the creative is going.
So when you get messages like that, that is that from Kazoo or is that
Kazoo's from me that, but it's someone else who's kind of giving him that information about you.
Mm-hmm.
Or multiple people there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That are linked somehow.
Or not linked. Or not linked. Just kind of tuning in because we're all here and they're like, hey, universe, hey, radio waves, listen to me.
Uh huh.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Oh, wow.
It's interesting. So, how do people get a reading with you?
So, you can get a reading with me by going to my website, which is alexthemedium.com, or you can email me at alexthemedium@gmail.com. And if you, I live in New York City.
Mm-hmm.
We can do sessions in New York City, live in person if you're here. If not, almost 75%, I want to say, of my sessions are via Skype. Or FaceTime. From all over the world. I have a group of girls in Taiwan who I have work with all the time, which is weird because it's like their nighttime and my early morning that I work with on a regular basis. I have clients all over the place, and all of my clients have been word of mouth, which is how I prefer it.
Yeah.
I don't like to sensationalize what I do or kind of, I don't know. I just, it feels comfortable for me. For it to come from someone else and that it spreads that way.
Mm.
So that's how you get a hold of me. I always kind of have special offers going on. I'm very reasonably priced compared to a lot of mediums that I've
been
researching.
What do a lot of mediums normally cost?
It depends. Higher end or ones that have been doing it for a very long time or that have fame. They can charge anywhere from $400 to $500 to $550
an hour.
An hour. Some of them even less time.
Oh my god.
Wow.
Some of them offer series of readings for thousands. So it just depends.
Have you worked with other mediums in the past?
I worked with the person who kind of mentored me.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Which has been great. I mean, even her coming into my life at the time that she did was the perfect person because she's very nurturing. She listens a lot. She has very kind, open eyes.
What does she charge?
She's amazing. She charges a lot, but she's amazing. And if you have the funds, I recommend going to
her. What's her name?
What's her name?
Her name is Jamie Butler.
Where is she?
She's in Atlanta, Georgia.
Hey, Jamie Butler.
She's
Atlanta,
beautiful
Georgia.
And ethereal and lovely and just amazing.
And so what is your rate normally for an hour?
My rate for an hour is $150.
Uh-huh.
I literally...
And that's Skype or in person?
Skype
or...
in person.
Do you do over the phone?
I do over the phone. I feel like people open up more and get a better experience if we can see each other.
Uh-huh.
But I will do over the phone. There have been rare cases.
Do you find in person is better than Skype?
No.
They're the same.
As long as we see each other. For me, it's the same no matter what. It's more what I think is better for people. I think for
the connection for them.
I mean, you can see now, you know, oftentimes people tell me that it's like I've left the room or like I'm not really listening or paying attention. And it's because someone else is talking to me and I'm just giving it to you.
Uh-huh.
So I think kind of you seeing that, it kind of helps with the conversation.
Uh-huh.
That you can see me going through it and giving you info. And sometimes I'll even with gestures tell you they're saying or hold on or... So, to me, I think it's better for them. But, like I said, it can happen any which way. I always have specials going on.
Mm-hmm.
I do, like I said, $150 is an hour. $200 for 90 minutes. For return clients, I do half-hour sessions as well. I do group sessions. So, if you have, you know, family members or just a group of friends that want to get together and have me over.
Would that be similar to like how does a group session work? Is that similar to what we see on Long Island Mediums?
It can be. There's two ways it works. I can be in the space and people can come to me individually for 20 minutes at a time.
Uh-huh.
Or if everyone feels comfortable and open enough, usually in a smaller group of 5 to 6, we can kind of just talk openly and freely like we have with the two of
like
you.
Like an open conversation.
Because you guys can relate to each other's problems.
But I'm wondering like, how, because, you know, Long Island Medium, she's like, who has a grandfather that died?
Yeah, no, I don't do
how
that.
Do you, yeah. How do you, well, how do totally you start, like, how do you start a group session?
How it starts is I usually say, if anyone has any questions or would like to start, we can start that way. Or I have I can literally look at you and think, someone's here and they want to say this.
Yes.
So,
But you don't always know who it is.
No, I don't know who it is talking, but I know who they want to talk to.
Will the spirit tell you who they are?
Sometimes it's not necessarily a name, but they'll tell me I'm this girl, because it will say that girl with the curly hair. So I'll go to her and she'll say they want to tell her this. So it's almost like...
they're more concerned with getting the message to the person than...
Yeah, yeah. And I think sometimes names and visions... For me, one plus of seeing them is that I could see them as they wanted me to see them, so I could then tell you what I'm dealing with or what they look like, which I did a little bit with Steven's grandmother the first time.
Yeah.
But I felt, and that's my issue or obstacle, I felt very safe and comfortable with her.
Mm.
So I felt like, let's go, let's do this.
Does spirit ever feel like they want to say more, and for some reason they don't, there's not, the opportunity is not there?
No, I don't think so.
You ever get into a fight with a spirit? Like, I'm not done!
No, sometimes they're, like, I gave a reading to a girl, I want to say, like, 3 or 4 months ago, and it was very poignant, and she had an aunt that came through, and it was just like your grandmother, how easily, and I could see her speech pattern, and it started coming through me in a way,
yes,
where I started speaking.
It did
like
that
her.
The last time for me, and
yeah,
that.
And it went over our session because it was so much was coming out and I let it happen because it felt natural, even though I went over by almost an hour. So she got a 2-hour reading. But that woman was very chatty Kathy. And so sometimes, you know, it can drain me. And it also felt a little, I let it happen, but it also felt like if Kazoo were kind of more involved, things would have come out a little more concise,
uh-huh,
and in a shorter amount of time.
So
it depends, you know, on how I'm feeling, how you're feeling, what happens in the moment. I mean, it's literally two people showing up to a space and let's see what happens and for the greater good of the client.
So do you have a recommendation to like our listeners? Because I hope our listeners do consider booking with you, because...
And for all your listeners, I will do... I usually have a discount every month. I've been waiting to do the discount until I met with you guys,
yeah,
which is $25 off any session with me if you mention the House of Mimosa or the podcast.
I love that.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
No almost... matter when. There's no time limit on that.
I love it. So, I forget what I was going to ask you now. Oh, I'm hoping that our listeners seriously consider booking with you, because both the readings that I know today was a little funny, but the readings that we both had were,
yes,
really beneficial, I think, for us in different ways. And
moving on and trying to, you know, look into your life's course, you know?
Yeah. And if anything else, in understanding that loved ones, and in particular for me, my grandmother on my dad's side and my grandfather on my mom's side,
mm-hmm,
are still with me. And it almost... After that initial reading I had with you, it's almost now like I can actually really feel them with me.
Yes.
Well, because you're connected with them in a way that's more than just physically.
Yes.
Right.
In fact, you know, I always feel, I have friends that are very close that live in California or other parts of the world, but we had such a strong connection when we were in our lives together. That connection doesn't change because we're not in the same city and I,
yes,
can't see them all the time. I feel their energy and they feel mine, and I can get on the phone and nothing's changed.
Yes.
And it's the same with someone who's passed on.
It is the same. And I, especially the first time I had the reading, I left that reading feeling like, wow, I'm so connected to my grandmother who came through, as if she was still living,
right,
and I could just pick up the phone and talk to her. You know,
yeah,
so it was weird. Like, it was that sense of always knowing, well, she is kind of around and she is guiding me.
And that's because she is still living, just in a different realm.
Yes.
Because he always says death, he finds it odd or funny that we get so morose about death, because to him and to people in his realm, it's a graduation or a birth into a new place.
Now, I know we've spoken about you having readings that were successful and you having readings that you felt were not as successful as they could be.
Mm-hmm.
What is something that you would tell somebody who is new to readings and them sitting down with you for the first time? Is there any sort of,
yeah,
is there something that
they should
that,
know
that a client
time
can do,
mm-hmm,
to get the most out of their reading?
Yes. Don't be nervous. You can be skeptical. That's normal. That, you know, if that's how you feel, that's how you feel. But sometimes people get nervous, and sometimes that energy attracts negative versus positive. I've noticed when people, and they'll tell me, that, you know, we'll email back and forth, and they mention each email how nervous they are. And I think, what are you nervous about? You know, we're going to meet, we're going to chit-chat about a few things, and they're going to help you. You're seeking this out because you want some sort of guidance.
Right.
So let's take it. Let's use it. Let's hold on to it and kind of mold our life around it and move on. So there's nothing to be nervous about. It's literally like, I guess it's like when people go to the dentist or they're nervous about going to a doctor. But they're helping you. So kind of let go of that and try and be as open-minded and open-hearted as possible, because that openness is what will help you achieve happiness for a longer, or sustain it,
uh-huh,
easier.
And is there a time or a point in someone's life where you feel like connecting to this guidance might be more beneficial than another?
No, I think any time. I have a friend, Marisol, who I've been friends with for over 20 years now, and she literally calls me on a daily basis and says, can you ask Kazoo? Actually, yesterday she texted me 3 different times and said, can you ask Kazoo this? Can you ask Kazoo this? And it's just so part of my life now that I just do it.
Yeah.
So it happens all the time. You know, for her, she knows it's there and it's readily available to her anytime. So she taps into it. Other people might want to wait and do it, you know, have some space in between their sessions, or
mm-hmm,
it's just, you know, I guess preference.
Well, thank you so much,
wow,
for being on.
Thank you, guys.
I mean, you're
thank you.
A very special person in our lives, and
yes,
obviously we're great friends, and I hope that our listeners can get something just out of this podcast, or even in meeting with you,
and from our experiences.
Yeah, and I want we have to have you back because I want to talk. Maybe we'll have you back for Halloween to talk about the negative spirits.
Okay,
you know, or I don't know. There's so many questions.
There's
I think so many.
I know it's a fascinating subject, and it really, and how amazing that we can connect.
Yeah.
To the other side.
So Alex the medium, 25% off if you mention House Mimosa.
Yeah,
$25.
Oh, I'm sorry. $25 off a reading if you mention House Mimosa.
Anytime.
And you can go to alexthemedium.com.
Yes.
And email alexthemedium@gmail.com. You also have a Facebook page, right? It's just
Alex the Medium. Alex the Medium. Yes. And if you have questions for Gazoo or want to get to know him, he has a huge ego and would love to hear from you.
So,
and he looks like Patrick Dempsey, you
say.
Yeah,
he always tells me, well, when I used to see him, the vision I got was of Patrick Dempsey, except I remember, because I'm old, Patrick Dempsey from Can't Buy Me Love.
Oh,
have you ever seen that movie?
Oh, yeah.
So he looks like that, except like bulkier.
Okay.
And he always says, I look like Patrick Dempsey, except cuter and more buff.
Oh, well, excuse me.
So, are you open to emails or Facebook messages from people inquiring with Kazoo?
Sure.
To kind of, well,
to get the ball rolling.
Yeah.
Or if they want to go on my Facebook and ask a question, or
I love it.
That's fantastic.
Well, again, thank you so much for being with us, you guys. Thanks for listening. We love you guys, and like we say, live your passion, smile at a stranger. You never know whose day you're gonna make, and we will see you next time.
Bye, guys.